And good evening and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the, well, from the Radio Ranch. That's where we're at, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we thank you for joining us here, and we hope you're having a blessed day and a blessed evening as well. Here we are live, July 27th. Boy, July is winding down. It's just about as fast as we've ever seen it. But we thank you for joining us here on 7x70. And if you ever wonder maybe where that comes from, we hear that in the scripture, 7x70. And it comes from Matthew 18, or maybe 70x7. So it's kind of a play on that. But it's in Matthew 18 under the subtitling of Rank in the Kingdom. And I encourage you to read through it because it's a wealth. I hope your Bible is as marked up as mine is on these pages. But it has to do with forgiveness. And just a quick note here on where it comes from in Matthew 18:21, forgiveness. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70x7. And then Jesus gives a parable. He gives a teaching. He gives a comparison of what the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. And I think that the reason that this is just given as a comparison, because the kingdom of heaven is unimaginable to our minds. But Jesus was able to give some comparisons and say, it's like this, it's like that. So we are to read those things so we can see what they're like, what it's going to be like, so that we can do our best to have, well, as much of that kingdom here on heaven, that kingdom of heaven here on earth, as much as possible. So, anyway, just a point. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit. Have a couple of things to go through. Wanted to share with you tonight. But we will have the phone lines open a little bit later. 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in, have a comment. But let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer before we get any further. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, Father. I come to you in that name, in your name, O Lord, that name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the name with which all power and authority is given to us, the name in which everything that was created was created. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to come to the Radio Ranch and to come to the microphone and to be able to fellowship with you and with those that are yours. And I pray your blessings. I ask for your angels to come and to bless my thoughts and my words tonight as I read from your word and as we fellowship with one another, Lord, and with you. That, Father, we would see the current events of the day through your eyes and through biblical truthful eyes, and that, Lord, we would do our best to encourage one another to love and good deeds, Lord, through our words and through our actions, Lord, through putting others before us, through service to you and service to your people, that, Lord, that would be a blessing to you. And, Lord, we know that if it is a blessing to you, that it will come back as a blessing to us. So, Father, that's my request, that you would send your angels to be here with us. Let it be a good broadcast, Lord. Be with the remnant as they're tuning in and from sea to shining sea. And let them be blessed, Lord. Let them be blessed by hearing your word. And let us be blessed by reading it. Hopefully it puts a smile on your face, O Lord. Father, thank you for your remnant, Lord. Protect them as some are out in 100-degree heat. Lord, some are flooding. Some are in a drought. But Lord, no matter where they are and what your remnant are going through, Lord, help us to always trust in you and help us to see that you do, and we know you work all things for good for those that love you. We claim that, Lord Jesus. We claim your word. Lord, we believe your word, and we not only believe it, we obey it, and we claim it. And we thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for pulling us out of that darkness and into your wonderful light. And Lord, help us in our actions and deeds to help others come out of that darkness as well. Lord, thank you. And be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. and amen. Well, thought I'd start out tonight. Again, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in, we've had to kind of work on our phone lines, make some adjustments here, and had to replace a piece of machinery here at the Radio Ranch that runs the phone lines. But we have our part off for repair, and they're kind enough to offer a loaner unit. And so that's where we're at right now, is with a loaner unit to see what we can do and see if we can get this going. So, well, so thanks again for joining us, and we're looking forward to that. And the phone lines are open, so we're glad to have the phone lines back working. And if you want to give a call, then, well, you can do that. Thought that I would, just a couple of current events caught my eye today. You know, the old Freedom From Religion organization is back up and running, and they're doing what they can, and so we're going to talk about that for a minute. But you know, first I'm going to have a song for you, a little Mike Platt J song. Hope you like it. And if you like this type of music, we've got some Mike Platt J CDs. We've got both of his CDs on special, I think for a $20 donation, and I guarantee you, it's better than just about anything else you're going to hear on the radio. And we want to have good music. We want to be listening to good music. So listen in. We'll be right back.
Said someday that mountain might get up, but the Lord will. He's making his way, the only way he knew how. And that was a whole lot more than what the law would allow. He's still the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. He kept on fighting the system and doing what his dad said was good. Believe him.
I like that. Yeah, we've got those Mike Platt J CDs if you'd like them. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And you can drop us a line and say, hey, I want those Mike Platt J CDs. And throw a $20 bill in there and, hey, we'll send you both of them. And that's a deal. I guarantee you that. And great music there. That's some singing that got Mike kicked out of some so-called Christian churches back in the day. But when Pastor met him, he said, you won't get kicked out of our church. We welcome you here. And we're able to help him put together those two CDs. And what a blessing they are. What a true blessing they are. Well, thought we'd talk about current events a little bit before the evening got on. A couple things, like I said, caught my eye, caught my attention. Freedom From Religion is, the organization is alive, and I don't know that they're well. They stink to high heaven is what they do. But a Tennessee police department in Knoxville had a plaque up in there. Oh, where was it at? It was up on the wall, just in one of their rooms, and in a pretty good place where everybody could see it. And it was Romans 8:31, says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us?" And you may think, well, that's not a very, why would that be a very controversial matter? Well, for the Freedom From Religion group, they had to go stick their nose in down there in Knoxville where it didn't belong. And so the police department and the city, and they've kind of agreed to move it, not taking it down, but they're moving it. And just a couple of quotes that I wanted to share with you, just to remind you the type of group, the type of mentality that these antichrists are. This was a quote from the Freedom From Religion threatens lawsuits. And this is kind of their quote. It says, "Please note that the Knoxville Police Department is a government entity and as such should be devoid of religious promotion of any kind. Having a Bible verse promotes one particular religion, and in so doing is discriminatory toward those of either of other religions or no religion. Please see that the verse is removed so that all who enter your police station may feel equally treated. Failure to have the verse removed may expose the Knoxville Police Department and or the city of Knoxville to expensive litigation that cannot be won." And that struck me. Oh, the arrogance that these people, the position that this Freedom From Religion group, and we've talked about them in the past, but the arrogance that they put themselves in. It's not a position that we want to put ourselves in, folks. It's not for us. And they will receive their due. We have prayed that they get their wish, that they will have freedom from religion, and they will have it in the burning pits of hell, in the eternal lake of fire, as the Holy Scripture tells us. You can read about it. If you don't like it, what it says about the eternal lake of fire, you call or write, and I'll send you a Sharpie. A black, big, fat black Sharpie marker, and you can just mark that part out of your Bible. If you don't like what that part says, that's how you want to be. But as Christians, we read the Word, and we believe what the Word says. We'll get to talk about that in just a little bit. But that's what's going on in Knoxville. This was here pretty recent, I think, just like now. But in the news article, it did have I like how it ended up. Oh, they were, who were they talking to? They're quoting here the mayor, who identifies as a Christian mayor, Ruggiero or something, talks about, well, we felt it's in the best interest of the city, not spending taxpayer money defending the plaque. They're just moving it to a room of faith or a hall of faith, something that they have. So it goes on and says, however, former investigator Don Weiser told reporters that when a nation turns away from Jesus, wickedness abounds. So see, these people, these reporters that went down to Knoxville to report on it, they've been warned. They've been told. They've been told. And they get to make the choice. He said, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that when they turn their back on Jesus, that we're going to be in bad shape, Weiser said. I think that as wicked as our people are getting, I think that's the wrong thing to do, to take that plaque off the wall. And this, some of the people there said they'd be praying for the freedom from religion people. I pray that their souls will be softened by the love of God. They understand that they can have us remove words, but they can't remove our faith and what's in our hearts. And it may come down, Knoxville Police Department, that they do. The freedom from religion, they're removing plaques from the walls now. When they want to remove your guns from your holsters, maybe that'll be the time you stand up and you say no more. Because just we see that that's what's happening there. And as that man says, when a nation turns away from Christ, and it does, the word tells us, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that certainly means the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean the Lord blank, blank, D, like the Jews write it. They won't even say that. Oh, they think they are so holy that they won't even say or write the name of God. Well, guess what? Our Lord and Savior said the name of God. He said, Heavenly Father. And you know God knew who he was talking to. And if it was good enough for Christ, it's good enough for us. And if it was good enough for the apostles that learned at his feet and the disciples to write that, then it's good enough for us. So blessed is the nation whose Lord, whose God is the Lord, forgive me, whose God is the Lord. And this nation, any nation, will be blessed when they have plaques like that on the wall that quote Scripture. See, in Indiana police officer killed after being shot multiple times. Police officer Lieutenant Aaron Allen going to a car crash. Here's a car crash. Car's upside down. Multiple occupants, that comes over the radio. One Adam 12. Please report to 4th and 5th and Main. Car crash. Teenagers in the vehicle. It's upside down. Unknown injuries. That's how it would come across. So the policeman, now granted, there's good and bad. This guy's racing to the scene. When he pulls up, they hear several shots. Bang, 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 bang. There's a gun battle. That happens all the time here. It's like being in Afghanistan or somewhere. Or back in Vietnam. Or being in Kabul. It's a war zone out there, folks. Like it or not. Think it's right or not. No, it ain't right. But that's the way it is. Here was a quote from Ciara Williams. Says, we heard a lot of sirens, we're unsure what's going on, and then we come up here, we're told by police officers that there were four teenagers in the vehicle, and that fires shots were fired. So here they come up, here's a vehicle, maybe it's stolen, four teenagers. Folks, I've got three teenagers. Shots were fired. And they that were fired from this vehicle that had crashed, that's full of teenagers in Indiana. Didn't give their names. Didn't give their race. Imagine that. That'll make, maybe you could guess, if not their names, their race. Of having four teenagers in a car and crashing it and then shooting the police officers when they come up to help. No, let's take what shall we say then? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Let's take these plaques off the wall because they don't reflect what we want to reflect as a nation, and it's hogwash. Folks, it's time that city councils and county commissioners say, freedom from religion, pound sand, buddy. But see, you can't do that living in sin. You can't do that as a city council member or as a county commissioner or a police department when there's sin there. When there's unrepentant, unconfessed, unforgiven sin. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord Jesus Christ. How does that phrase work if their God is not the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that nation, which is comprised of its people, is that nation going to be blessed? No. No, it's not. Might get to talk about that if we get a little bit. Oh, didn't print it out, but saw on a couple of the news that our president has said no more of these filthy, confused, transgender muckamucks. Can't serve in the military. No where, no way, no how. Praise the Lord. And you know, we've talked a little bit about, over the last few months, about better. About better. And you know, better is better. It is better for this country. It's not better to take Bible plaques off the wall. No, that's not better. But it is better for this country to not have these idiots that identify as some transgender serve in the military. That's better. That's better. You know, it's going to take a little time to redo some of the last 8 years of just filth that this country has wallowed in. This is at least a step in the right direction. It's better. It's better. Is it perfect? No. No, it's not perfect, but it's better. We've urged you folks to pray for our leaders. Pray for the president. Pray for the vice president. Pray for the governor of the state you're in. Pray for the state senators and the representatives that are from the state that you are in, wherever you're listening. Pray for your county commissioners. Pray for your whatever you have, mayor or city commissioners or whatever they are. Pray that God would, well, that they would hear God, that he would lead them, that they would look to him when they have decisions to make. Folks, and it comes back to us. I say pray for them, and I try. I don't pray for them every day. I sure try. I haven't made that a daily part of my prayers. I need to. But I urge you, Remnant, pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. Well, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And haven't talked about the Bible reading plan. Want to sure put a plug in for that. And hopefully you've been reading it. Here we are in July. Wow. Just a few more days here, last Thursday in July. Finished up Leviticus this week and into Numbers. And it may get a little boring. Sometimes you kind of get your eyes crossed in reading about the names and who's what. But you know, if it was important enough to get considered, we ought to read it. We ought to. And something that really caught my attention was our yesterday's Bible reading plan, reading through. And in Leviticus, it was 25 through 27. But a couple things popped out. Thought I'd take just a minute to address them here in Leviticus 26. And, well, I'll just read it. Here, Leviticus 26, it's very similar to Deuteronomy. Over in Deuteronomy, let's see, I marked it. Let's see if I still got it there. Nope, I didn't. In Deuteronomy, let me flip over there. What is it? Deuteronomy 28, the blessings. Either the blessings or the curses, whether we obey or not. And so here in Deuteronomy is not the first time that we see this, but here in Leviticus 26, we do see. And we've seen it before, but it's somewhat of a summary. And So, of course, Leviticus, this is the law. This is the law that was given. And part of the blessings, Leviticus 26, let's see, verse 5. Your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. And basically what that means is your food will last. The food you do here will last till you need more and or till the rest of it's ready. And on. He says, you will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. And I will eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through the land, but you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Verse 8, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. See, that is... if we keep his Sabbaths, if we reverence his sanctuary, if we walk in his statutes and keep his commandments so as to carry them out. He says, I'll give you rains in their season, so the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Verse 12 says, I will make my dwelling, well, verse 11, he says, moreover, I will make my dwelling among you. And my soul will not reject you. And that's what God says. Can you imagine that? Did you know God has a soul? What is that? Is that the Holy Spirit? His word says it. God says in verse 11 of Leviticus 26, moreover, I will make my dwelling among you. And my soul will not reject you. And I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. And again, this is written years ago, but it's for us today. And this is the law. If we keep, it's the choice. And then you start in 14, the penalties of disobedience. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments, and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I encourage you to read that. To read that down through, 45, 46. And we see a very similar thing, a second witness, if you will, in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. And verse 1 of Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall be, he says, and of course this is Moses talking to the people. Now it shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God. Obey. And that, the footnote is listen to the voice. Well, what voice do we have today? We have the voice of the Holy Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing. We need to hear the word, we need to read the word, we need to apply the word. As it says here in Deuteronomy 28, we need to obey. We need to obey. Well, I encourage you to read that. If you're not caught up with the Bible reading plan, go back and read Leviticus 26 yesterday. Because to me, when I read this, And when I read it again, it reminds me, it makes me think of Christ. Here he says, you'll have this power and authority. I will be with you. He says, I'll make my dwelling with you. That means my tabernacle. God says he will be with us. He says, my soul will not reject you. I will walk among you and be your God. You shall be my people. That was the law. That was God's promise. We know that Christ did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill. Let's look at a couple of quick New Testament scriptures. Go over to Romans 8:11. Let's take a look. Romans 8. I think that's where I want to go. Romans 8, verse 11 says, that's not Romans 11. That's Romans 11, not 8. Romans 8, 11. Sorry, I didn't print these out, so I'm flipping in my Bible here. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Remember it talked about God said, my soul. Let's go back there and look at that in Leviticus. See, this is a little Bible study, isn't it? It's not real hard to do that. Leviticus 26:11, my soul will not reject you. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. See, God said back in Leviticus, if we obey him, that he would be with us. He would make his dwelling among us. That was a law. That was as much a law as not to murder. And Christ came and fulfilled that law. And so we see that now Christ does dwell within us, just as God said he would. Let's flip a couple pages over. Look over it in 1 Corinthians. I love the Corinthians. Oh, man. I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Leviticus said, I will make my dwelling among you, says God, and my soul will not reject you. I will walk among you. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God? The Spirit of God dwells in you. You see how Christ was, how Christ, as he fulfilled that law, how he fulfilled this as well? I don't think they could understand it then. I think there's many don't understand it now. One more verse. Flip over to Ephesians. We'll start in verse 14. Ephesians 3:14 says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being grounded, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. See, that's the prayer. That's the praising God. It says that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts through faith. And that is what we have today. That is how one of the ways, one of the many ways that Christ fulfilled that law that we read in the Bible reading plan from yesterday in Leviticus. No, not the law of sacrifice. Talked about that last Sunday a little bit, last Sunday morning in the little scriptural insight from the church. How the law of the blood of atonement and the law of the sin offerings and the guilt offerings and how they were ordered. And they had to be a certain way. And how that, as well as this in Leviticus 26, points to Christ. It points to Christ. It's not separate. God does not change. But how these laws and that blood offering, how it was fulfilled in Christ, how it is fulfilled in Christ, and how God keeps his word for those that obey. Now, as it says here, we read, I bow my before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Well, it's a choice. You can be a Christian. You can be a follower of Christ or not. Or not. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. It is a choice. You know, Luke 13:5 says, well, Luke 13:3 says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And that's the way it is. That's the way it was in Leviticus. That's the way it is today. And it's so important, it repeats it again, Luke 13:5. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that, of course, is talking about those that the Tower of Siloam fell on. And Christ was talking about that, do you think that because you're just a little bit of a sinner, that you're going to get by over a great sinner? One who's sinning a lot? Christ says, no, you're not. Unless you repent, you're going to die in your sins. And you don't want to die in your sins, folks. You don't. You don't. I encourage you to read that in Luke 13. Boy, how do you end? You read here, it takes you here, and it reminds you of this part. And you know, I've got this while we're here in Ephesians 5 highlighted. And it says, it's Ephesians 5, verse 6. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. If anyone tells you, go back and look at the Word. If someone tells you that's not what it means, well, look it up deeper in the Word. Be like the Bereans. Search out the matter. Don't be deceived. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, I heard a saying. It kind of stuck with me. Maybe it fits here. Maybe it doesn't. But trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. See, that is for each and every one of us. That's not just for me here at the ministry. That's not just for Brother John or Brother Jason. That's not just for. It's for each and every one of us. We are to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We get that from His Word, from reading back in Leviticus, from going through the Bible reading plan, from disciplining ourselves, saying, no, I will get up 10 minutes early, and I will read the Bible, I will pray. You know, and you may say, well, man, you just don't know what I got. I got to get up early, I got an hour commute, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. You know, the same wind blows on us all. The wind blows. Winds of heartache, winds of blessings at times, winds of hardship, winds of big commutes to work. The wind blows on us all, but it's how we each set our sail that determines where we go. And you know, it's how we react to that wind, how we react. And it's that way in the Christian life. Are we learning what's pleasing to God as we read here in Ephesians 5? Or are we just living in a reactionary? If you love God and you're doing your best to follow Him and His Son and His ways, then we have to remember that the things that happen to us and in our life can and will be worked out for good. We have to remember that. That has to be a foundation. We can let the wind blow. We know how to sail. We know how to set our sail to continue down His path. Psalms 57, let's read a couple here. Psalms 57, starting in verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me. For my soul takes refuge in Thee, and in the shadow of Thy wings I will take refuge, until destruction passes by. See, it comes, and it will pass by. Verse 2. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth His loving kindness and His truth. You ever feel that just destruction is upon you? Go back to Psalms 51. O Lord, I will take refuge in You until destruction passes by. We have that rock and that refuge. If we believe it, if we obey it. And of course, Romans 8:28. And we know. Do you know? Do you know or do you think? Do you hope or do you know? Do you read it and, well, yeah, you know, okay, maybe. Or, you know, maybe. No, we know. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I only got about 10 minutes left tonight, and thought I'd just address a couple things. I've been talking to fathers, Judeo-Christian fathers, godly fathers, ungodly fathers, fathers that understand. And we sometimes have to, you know, as the patriarchs, as we grow older and older as men, that term, as we read, go back and read through, that term should have a greater and greater meaning for us. Of course, we go back to Abraham, the patriarch. And remember, he prayed. He prayed for his family. He prayed for his descendants. And as his descendants, when they followed God, when we follow God, we're blessed and taken care of. Genesis 18, men, God said, "For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." And so fathers and patriarchs, remember that we are to do that very thing. It is so that we can be a good example, and that we can teach. And it says command. That's what that means. Teach and instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. That responsibility is on us. Hey, got a caller. Let me get the buttons pushed here. Good evening, caller. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Richard. It's Joe.
Hey, good evening, Joe.
Good evening there, sir. Fine message.
Well, thanks for tuning in.
I got the whole darn thing.
Well, great.
I was wondering, I wasn't wondering. I was just wanting to comment on the latest newsletter and the message that John wrote in there regarding forgiveness. It's very convicting to me.
You know, Joe, I have your comments have been one of many. More than several that we have gotten along those lines. It's always been there, that forgiveness, but it has not been addressed as much as it should have been.
Never actually thought of it in the way that he wrote it there.
Well, you know, we are to forgive, but we don't have to forgive. We don't have to forgive if we don't want to be forgiven. And really, that's how we need to look at it. Yes, Christ went and died to forgive us. And so that's been done. But it's not just a blanket. It's not just, you know, for all, no matter what. It's just not. And you know, we have to forgive. We do.
It's a part of the kingdom message, I think,
it,
for sure.
It truly is. I mean, it was a greater thing that Christ taught. I read it at the beginning of the program there in Matthew 18. I encourage the people that are tuning in, read all of that. Read that from where I left off to the end, and you see what the kingdom of heaven is like. Because that's really what it is, and it has a lot to do with forgiveness. It really does.
And I have another comment.
Sure.
There. I was out today grilling some meat on the spit there, and I was listening to the shortwave coming in real good here in the evening time. It usually always does.
Well, good.
Real strong, and you can hear.
Great.
But with a regular shortwave receiver, and I have a number of them, you really need to have a wire going out into the yard or into the field or wherever you happen to be, because the standard whip antennas just don't bring it in.
Yeah, it's
and
a lot
listening to,
lot different than the AM and FM.
Jack Moore.
Uh-huh.
Here, I guess it was like a couple of hours ago, as a matter of fact. He was a ball of fire there, as usual. And he mentioned a phrase that I scrambled inside, and I wrote it down. He talked about somebody, and I don't know who he said that the quote was, but I'll quote it. Le cesspool grande. and
yes.
That hit me really hard, because here is our president talking about the cesspool there, and I think he is actually talking about not only a cesspool but he was talking about I was listening to AM radio today. And he was saying, you know, it's a lot worse than he even thought it was.
Yeah.
Le cesspool grande. And I'm sure it was a Spanish man that said this. Le cesspool grande.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Anyway. But you know, it's getting better, Joe. It's getting better.
Yeah.
You know, as fast as we'd like it, probably not. But it's a shift. It's a shift. We have to remember,
you know, I always have to say that there was a guy, Bo Gritz, who talked about this. He said the first time I ever heard it, he says that, you know, when you're catching flack, you're on target.
Yep.
And this guy is on target.
Yep.
Now, take him for what you will, but he is ruffling a lot of feathers, it seems. Now, this might just be another one of the instances of, you know, the Hegelian principle, where you have two opposing principles and you bring about a desired effect.
Right.
But it seems to me like he is really making a lot of people mad, and that's one of the reasons why I pray for him.
We need to be. Anytime you can put Hollywood in an uproar, you know, and those it's ludicrous. It really is. It really is. But you know, these filthy whatever they are, transgenders, they don't need to serve in the military.
Oh,
if anything,
if
they need to pray for repentance and repent and pray the blood of Christ and cry out to Him is what they do. And I tell you, it's rampant. It's rampant. I pray for a young lady in Florida that is just as beautiful as she can be and as confused and just, you know, thinks she wants to be a boy. And it is rampant. And if people don't believe that it is a spiritual battle, that it is a spiritual warfare, that Satan and his minions, because of sin, they've been able to do this, bring this about, and go about, like it says in the Bible, as a roaring lion seeking whom they can devour. And they are devouring left and right. But we have been given, as believing, obeying, repentant, baptized Christians, all power and authority over that. And it's there because, what's the quote? What does it take for evil to prosper? What's it take
good
for evil
men to do nothing?
For good men to do nothing. And I think you could say for good men to not pray. When men don't pray, evil prospers. Well, we see evil prospering in the land. Guess what? Guess why? Because of our sin. Because people haven't prayed. But it's getting better, Joe. It's getting better. People are listening to things like this, and it's getting better. So, well, brother, I'm out of time. Thanks.
I have to believe it.
It is. Amen. Amen.
Well, we'll let you go there, right, Richard. Thanks for the broadcast.
Sure.
We'll be listening.
Thanks, Joe. God bless.
Yep. See you.
Right. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. We're about out of time here on 7x70. We encourage you, come back Saturday morning. Go ahead and plan on it. Just set your alarm. Get up early for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wrangler. Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. It's still not too late out there. Hey, on the West Coast, a little early, 6 o'clock, but you know, it's you got some sunshine by then. But join us right here on scripturesforamerica.org, live audio, And the live broadcast, that's Saturday morning. Also on the shortwave, and you can even get it on your phone if you want to. And visit our website, scripturesforamerica.org. That'll let you know all the ways you can listen in. And then also, at the very bottom of the homepage of that is a link to the network website, sfawbn.com. You can see the complete broadcasting schedule there, the SFA Newswire. There's a wealth of information there. If you have questions, you have comments, take a look. Take a look. You can read it in the privacy of your own home, so to speak, and pray about it and see. You can see what we're about. You can hear what we're about. Well, thanks for tuning in, and hey, plan on joining us for Sunday church as well. Good night, and we'll talk to you Saturday.